Good morning. Is everybody warmed up? Seems like a week or two ago we were still trying to warm this room up to get ready for the service. It's amazing what that sun can do. Well, how many of you have heard of the King James Version of the Bible? Some of you haven't. There's many versions of the Bible. Why is that? You know, Peter once told me that if King James was alive today, he would have told people to write the New Living Translation. Now, that's his opinion. I don't know if he's right. He might have been the NIV, but there's a lot of different versions. And the reason is our words change. Our language changes. The way we understand words changes. I was watching TV this week, and somebody said, that basketball player was really bad. I mean bad in a good way, not bad in a bad way. So today they use bad as good. We never did that when I was young. Words can change. How many know some of the British words that are kind of weird? I shouldn't say weird, but they're different. But what's strange is that our language mostly came from their language, and yet we have such different words. Who knows what a trainer is in Britain? It's a tennis shoe. Pants. Who knows what pants are in Britain? Ladies' underwear. Didn't know that. Braces. Anybody know what braces are in Britain? Suspenders. How about this one? A trolley. Nope, nobody knows. Okay, well, that's okay. It's a shopping cart. So when you go to Kmart and get a trolley. Well, words have such different meaning. And I think one of these words that has different meanings to us is the word ghost. I've entitled the message, Ghosts and Spirits, Angels and Afterlife. That's a lot to cover. And I'm going to do it in two parts. But ghosts we're going to start with. Now, what do you think of when you think of a ghost? Casper? Anybody think of Casper, the friendly ghost? Yeah? Okay. How about these three guys? Anybody recognize these three? Okay. Anybody been to Disneyland this last 2 months? They probably saw these guys at the Haunted Mansion. Now, I know it kind of caught you off guard when you grabbed the bulletin. It's like, what church am I in here? Well, I wanted to get your attention. Ghosts and spirits we're going to focus on. Ghosts, what do you think of when you hear the word ghost? What definition would you give? I looked it up. It says the spirit of a dead person or the center of spiritual life, the soul. The Bible talks a lot about ghosts. You know, you might not think that. You might think, well, it's not in the Bible. Well, it is. In certain versions, over 100 times, the word ghost is in the Bible. And it's interchanged with the word spirit a lot of times. The first word that I want to talk about, the first meaning of the word ghost that I want to talk about is when Jesus was walking on the water. Remember this story? And Peter, he said, if it's really you, I want to get out of the boat and walk to you. It's an amazing story. I think it's one of the greatest miracles that Jesus performed is to walk on water. I want to walk on water. Any of you been fishing and you wanted to get out of the boat and walk to shore? The boat driver wouldn't go. You had to get to shore. Well, anyway, the word ghost is used there. They first saw Jesus walking on the water and they said, it's a ghost. Now that meaning is similar to what we see in the world around us. A spiritual being, a spirit that looks like a person. That's they thought they saw a ghost. Then they realized when Jesus talked to them that it was him, and Peter got out of the boat and walked toward him. So that's the one time in that story is when we see ghosts used that way. The other 108 times in the Bible, the ghost is used two different ways. The first one I want to talk about is the ghost, when you give up the ghost. Have you ever seen a dead person? You can tell they gave up the ghost. There's just a body. The spirit has gone. The spirit has left the body. I think it's pretty evident if you've ever seen somebody who's given up the ghost. And there's many examples of that in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 25, then Abraham gave up the ghost. And Ishmael also, it talks about later, he gave up the ghost and died. In Genesis 35, Isaac gave up the ghost and died. In Genesis 49, when Jacob yielded up the ghost, all of these men died and gave up the ghost. So the word's a little different to me because it's the ghost, the spirit. It's not ghost, just ghost. I think it seems to have a little different meaning in this context where it says you gave up the ghost. Even our Savior in Mark 15:37, it says, and Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Even Jesus, his spirit left him and his body remained. They gave up the ghost. In all these cases, the word ghost is interchanged with spirit depending on what version you are reading from. And if you don't have a Bible yet, I recommend NIV or NLT. Write that down if you're going to get a Bible. Those, in my opinion, are the most easy to read and yet accurate. And you will see the difference as you look at different versions. In Luke 24, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And this was after the resurrection. Another time, like walking on the water. This is the second time when they use ghost as like, wow, that's scary. They were thinking they saw a ghost. They were afraid. And he said, "No, this is me. This is Jesus. I have flesh and bone. Ghosts don't have that." So it's clear to me that Jesus talked about ghosts and that they did not have flesh and bone. When I was young, it was hard for me to believe in ghosts. You know, Casper was what I saw, and I didn't have any other teaching or experience with it. So that's what you thought of, and you thought it was just a cartoon. It wasn't real. But these verses seem to show that the disciples thought there were ghosts, and Jesus never corrected them in the text there. So I think we must assume that there are spirits that move about that we might call ghosts or spirits. It's a little bit different use in the word ghost town. I thought it was interesting. The NLT uses the phrase ghost town, Jeremiah 9:11. "I will make Jerusalem into a heap of ruins," says the Lord. "It will be a place haunted by jackals. The towns of Judah will be like ghost towns." Now, you won't see that in another version, I don't think. That's the only version I found that used the phrase ghost towns. And I looked up ghost towns, once a thriving town, especially out west where there was mining. And then it completely died out. It was abandoned by people. No people, no ghosts, just abandoned. That's what the definition of ghost town is. And we see that in the Bible. So a ghost is a spirit, an individual spirit that has left the body. That's the second use of the word ghost that we see in the Bible. The Bible also refers to spirits of the dead as familiar spirits. The Lord spoke to Moses in Leviticus 20, "And you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine. A man or a woman who is a medium or who is a familiar spirit, has familiar spirits," it talks about, "shall surely be put to death." A man or woman who is a medium, that would be like a, what's the word you used, Tim? Conjurer. A conjurer. Or someone who has familiar spirits shall be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. That's pretty serious. In fact, there's a story about King Saul. He sent all the mediums out of the country, out of the area. But then one day, he had use for one. He thought he wanted to talk to one of these mediums, conjurers. So he asked some people, and I think it was 17 miles away. They said, yeah, there's a lady over here that still does it. So he dressed up in a disguise and went with a couple other people trying to fool this medium and get information from her. And she said, well, who do you want to conjure up? Samuel. I want to bring Samuel back. And she, in doing so, in bringing back Samuel, she says, you're Saul. You're trying to trick me. You're going to kill me because I'm not supposed to be doing this. You've outlawed this. No, no, I promise. It's okay. I won't have you killed. And it goes on. And Samuel comes back, apparently, and talks to the medium and to King Saul. It's a crazy story because we don't see that today. And I can't explain it all, but it's in the Bible. And I think that we need to realize that we're living in a world, but there's really two different realms. There's the physical realm that we're so familiar with. And we live in this realm and we forget about the spiritual realm often. But there's a spiritual realm that God tells us that we need to pay attention to. And that's where the spiritual warfare is. It's real. Someday, our spirit is going to leave our body and go, hopefully, to a better place. It's your choice. You have to choose before your spirit leaves your body. You can go to heaven or you can go to hell. And it's a huge choice. And you need to make that decision ahead of time before you give up the ghost, which each one of us will do someday. Now, the Holy Spirit is the third use of ghost. When I was young, we always heard the Holy Ghost. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then the NIV came out and they started using the Holy Spirit. Well, they're interchangeable. Ghost and spirit are often interchangeable, and this is the case. And the Holy Spirit is not just some vague mist or airy being. It's a real person. And it's a part of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they have similar attributes, and yet they're different. And we've explained this before. It's kind of like water. Water can be liquid or frozen or gas. And God can be three different forms. It's hard for us to understand. Fortunately, we have water to help us figure out three forms. But the Holy Spirit is part of our mantra here at, we're a Great Commission church here at Harvest. And Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20 talk about that we're supposed to go into the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that's crucial because what if you didn't believe in the Trinity? What if you push aside Jesus or you push aside the Holy Spirit? You're not really following Scripture, what captures the essence of who God is, the Trinity. Now, the Holy Spirit has many attributes, and it's talked about in various verses. The intellect in 1 Corinthians 2:11, it talks about how the Holy Spirit knows a person's thoughts. And the emotion comes through in Romans 15:30. I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit. They're talking about the Holy Spirit there, God's Spirit. And the Spirit's will is talked about again in 1 Corinthians 12. But the primary role of the Holy Spirit is to bear witness and to be a teacher for us. Now, if you've ever read Scripture and couldn't understand a thing, maybe it was before you were saved, because the Holy Spirit is sent to us to help reveal things to us and to help to teach us. Once we're saved, once we believe and receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into us. Now, this is one of my favorite verses, and I've told you over and over again this past year. Does anybody know the reference? Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. I'm going to put it in the bulletin pretty soon so you can memorize it, because it's so good. Having believed, you are marked with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It says, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance? When we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are marked with the Holy Spirit. And the key words, I think, are who is. It's not like just a mist or something. It's a person that comes into our lives to live in us and to reveal things and teach us. Ephesians, anybody got it? 1, 13 and 14. Okay, I'm going to put that in the bulletin for memory. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2, it says, talks about how the Holy Spirit can reveal things to us, starting in verse 9. However, it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Now catch this. These things, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. His Spirit can reveal things to us that nobody else knows. And there's no way you would know them unless the Spirit revealed them. That's eye-opening. The Holy Spirit can reveal things to us. Verse 10, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And in verse 13, it continues, we are taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities. Verse 14, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. So if you think Scripture is foolishness, it's obvious that you have not received God's gift of salvation, because he wants to reveal truth to you once you're saved. Verse 14, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that are from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. That's a scary thing. If you're in that boat, then you're not going to heaven. You have not received salvation because you have not received God's gift and therefore received the Spirit to enlighten you. Revealing and teaching us as Christians things that there's no way we would know or understand. John 14, 26, we see Jesus telling his disciples about the Holy Spirit. He says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. John 16, 13, he will guide you into all the truth, and he will disclose to you what is to come. What a blessing, having the Holy Spirit. You don't just gain eternity with God. On earth, we are blessed with wisdom and revelation and teaching. Grab hold of that today. Don't wait. If you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what are you waiting for? There's so much blessing ahead, here and in eternity. It says, continues, that the non-Christian can benefit from the Holy Spirit as well. He convicts people's hearts of God's truth concerning how sinful we are, how we need God's forgiveness, how righteous Jesus is and was. He died for our sins. All of these things, it's told that the Holy Spirit can reveal to us to help us choose salvation. The Holy Spirit might be tugging on your heart today, might be saying, you know these things, you've heard these things. What are you waiting for? I want to come into your life. I want you to grab hold, to believe and receive. And Ephesians 1:13 says, having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance. Who is? The Holy Spirit is a living being that wants to be in your life, that wants to teach you and reveal things to you, but only if you allow it to happen. So where are you at with this ghost and spirit thing? Is it nonsense? Or is there a lot in Scripture that talks about ghosts? We've talked about three different definitions of ghosts. One was the scary one that they thought they saw a ghost and it was Jesus. The second one was giving up the ghost when people die. The third one is what? What we just talked about, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, that wants to be part of your life, part of the Trinity. What a blessing. God and Jesus want to send the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, into your life. A couple weeks ago, I talked about faith, and these actions take faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It takes faith to believe in Jesus. We haven't seen him, we read about him. It takes faith to believe that he died for your sins. But my stance is that it takes a lot more faith to believe in evolution. People look at a book and they say, oh yeah, that's probably true. How do you believe that? Versus God's word that is all truth. And he tells us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And later in that chapter, it says, he created us in his likeness. We created man in our likeness. So we is the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We're all there at the beginning. And they created us in their likeness. Which one are you having faith in? Are you having faith in what man says? Or are you having faith in what God says? Faith is a substance of things hoped for. What are you hoping for? If you're not hoping for anything, then it doesn't seem like you have any faith. Are you hoping for an eternity with God? Are you hoping to understand Scripture more? You can. The Holy Spirit can be in your life and reveal and teach and give you guidance. Next time I want to talk about angels and afterlife. I think that God wants us to understand this spiritual realm. We're stuck in the physical realm too much in life. And I think prayer helps us to move to the spiritual realm, to help to understand the spiritual warfare. Let's pray as we music team comes up. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift and opportunity for salvation. And then, having believed, we are offered another gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, to come into our lives, to reveal and teach things to us. Lord, help us to grab hold of these gifts that lead to eternal life with you. A third gift for just having believed and received. Lord, help us to make that choice before we give up the ghost. Help us to be wise. Help us to move forward. Help us to learn your Scripture and understand it better. Lord, help us to have faith in your word and not to have faith in what man says, but to have faith in you and your truth. Lord, as we go from here today, may you reveal yourself to us more and more. May you bless our lives and those around us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.